Blog Talk Ladies Radio. And
you're listening to Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash.
Exciting episode of the Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast. This is your boy, Greg DeMarc. Conspicuous by his absence today is Day-Day. Tough day for Day-Day, man. He's in our thoughts and prayers, and he'll definitely be back with us next week. But he did not want nobody to miss our show tonight, because tonight we have independent wrestling superstar Isaiah Moore as our guest tonight. He's been on AEW Dark. Sky's the limit for the guy. And, you know, the national stage, even international stage, are starting to get a taste of what this guy is about. We've had several tastes of what he's about, and we're going to talk to him. We're going to, you know, talk about how he likes AEW, what his goals might be, and talk about what he's going to be doing here in the near future, because he is going to be in the area quite a bit here in the very near future. And we'll touch on that a little bit later when we get our guest on the line. But, man, like I always say, it's an exciting time to be a wrestling fan, especially in the Midwest. We have a ton of action going on. We got, you know, Metro Pro coming up. They got a big show. We just had a couple weekends of big shows, and here this coming weekend, we're going to talk about a little-known show, more of a private affair that's going to happen. It's Jacob Braun's birthday party. We're going to talk about that more in a little bit. And coming hot off XICW last Saturday in Standish, exciting show as always. And Horror Slam is about to bring us some more high-quality cards. They really spare no expense when it comes to bringing in talent. You've seen that on the Horror Slam versus GCW show, how, you know, they stop at nothing to bring in the best names that are available and trying to make the best matches that can be made. And those matches seem to usually get made with local or, you know, Midwest superstars. And those are some of my favorite things to watch, is to see, you know, a more well-known face come back to, you know, to see them locally against, you know, some of your favorite talents that, you know, you've been seeing month after month, year after year, waiting to see that opportunity to see your favorite wrestler on a big stage. But, or in some of these matchups. And, man, we got some matchups coming up. So we're going to try to get Martez back out there. We got some near him very soon. Hopefully we can drag the man out.
Oh, yeah, man. Sign me up for it, man, because I'm ready to experience this again. That was a surreal experience the first time. So I'm ready. I'm ready for this second dance with a deathmatch wrestling. So, sign me up, brother.
So we got GCW versus Horror Slam 2 coming in November. That'll be awesome. But the next show I'd really like to get you to go to is October 29th. It's in Hamtramck. And I'm not bringing the ring this time. So I'll come get you, bro. Jeremiah Goldmain's promotion, FU Wrestling. And it stands for Us. And, man, it was the funnest show I've ever seen. So much shenanigans. So much awesome wrestling action. As well as in addition to the shenanigans. And, you know, it was serious. It was silly. It was shenanigans. It was fun. Guys like Josh Morris, I don't know if you've caught some of them posts and don't know what they mean. You know, Josh Morris is here. Never seen the guy. Never heard of him. The guy looks like a complete scrub to me, right? Got completely over. He has this custom song. It's just, Josh Morris is here. Josh Morris is here. And it's, I mean, just ridiculous. But the guy was such a showman. He, like, completely got over. And, you know, I'm starting to see him advertised for other shows here in the near future. And it was just so much fun. I just can't emphasize how much fun it was. It's like in a little patio area outside of this establishment in Hamtramck, and it's not going to stop when the weather breaks for the worst. It's going to continue indoors, of course, and, man, it's going to be so exciting. But I would like you to get a taste of that. I'd like you to get a taste of XICW, too. But you've seen the deathmatch thing, which I didn't want that to be your first taste of indie wrestling. I'd rather you've seen some pro wrestling all-stars or, you know, first.
Well, we just threw you right in. Yeah, you know what, Greg? I thought deathmatch wrestling, bro, was going to be the very last thing I was going to experience, you know. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. I never thought that I would experience pre. I never thought that I would put myself in a situation where I'm actually going to watch a deathmatch show. So honestly, bro, I thought I would have saw everything.
Let alone say honestly that you enjoyed a deathmatch show.
Bro, the atmosphere alone, and this, you know, I'm a WWE junkie, a WWE slappy. You know, that's all I breathe. Nothing else matters but that company for me. You know how I roll, but. And I've been to a lot of live events, Joe Louis Arena, Little Caesars Arena. But that event we went to, GCW versus Horror Slam, the atmosphere was off the charts. It was electric. You know, the matches were absolutely fire. You know, it was amazing. And I'm not saying this because we're on air, but that's the best experience I've experienced being a part of wrestling. I know that was my first time being at an independent show, but that's my best experience, hands down, man.
The independent show, the thing about it that hooked me immediately was, like, you really feel like part of the show. You know, there's not a bad seat in the house. There's, you know, you can meet anybody you see wrestle, which I didn't expect it to be like that. Like, wow, dude, there's tables lying around the perimeter of this place and, like, everybody. And shout out to Ace Austin, actually, who's about to challenge Christian for the Impact Championship.
Wow.
I just read that earlier today. I was like, yep. Actually, last year, I believe it was, at TKW, Ace Austin defended the X Division Championship against MM3. The Impact X Division Championship was defended. in our local stage.
That's crazy.
I don't know if that
that's
was exactly
crazy.
Cleared with the higher-ups or not, but I can tell you I was there live. I actually worked on that show as ring crew, and we Ace Austin defended the title. Successfully, fortunately, I guess, for Impact Wrestling. But, I mean, they could do a lot worse than picking up a star like MM3.
Exactly. Let me ask you this question. I know you're the host of the show. I'm just the guy that presses buttons. But I want to know, like, if you had a power rankings right now in the world of independent wrestling, and I know you got a lot of friends in this industry, and I don't want them to be pissed off with you. Like, do you have a top five, you know? Do you have a top five right now?
I absolutely have a top five. And it's hard for me to number them 1 through 5, but because you hear me say, actually I said it to you a few times, like, this guy's in my top five. And one of them, and he usually gets left out because, for one, it's so hard to pick five. And for two, he's not a Michigan guy, but Jason Page, Jason Hobbs.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll just go ahead and spoil it right now because it's public knowledge. Isaiah Moore, our guest tonight, is going to wrestle Jason Hotch, who was in the opener against AJ Gray, stole the show off the rip. And Isaiah Moore and Jason Hotch at the next Horror Slam show is going to be fire. And you are more than welcome to, you know, make arrangements with your employers to attend, man. You make the time, and I'll geographically FIO, as the great Steven Rivera would say. We'll FIO this shit.
Exactly. Hey, hopefully by then, my wheels will be turning. And honestly, I got
my wheels turn. My wheels turn, and if I don't have to bring the ring, I don't have to be there 4 hours early, I can pick you up.
For sure. Okay. I'm down with that. And you know, that I'm definitely going to make it November 12th, but October 29th, I gotta be there because my schedule is about to get real crazy working downtown and stuff with the ice rink. So, yeah, make sure I'm there. Don't let me give you no excuse or nothing. I'm there.
I know where you
I'm
live
there.
Now.
All right.
Just come through there and zip tie and carry you, throw you in the back of the truck.
Hey, do the people hear this, Greg? Like, you're basically confessing to that you will kidnap me. there's no way I can get out of this. But count me in. And plus, Hamtramck is not too far from me. That's like right around the corner. So I'll probably be able to get there on my own. You know.
That's what sucks is that it's usually your hottest, busiest days is when wrestling is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's usually when you're the busiest.
Yeah, and bro, I don't want to share too much. I could be greedy, you know, like, especially if you're working in an environment where you make tips. Friday, Saturdays, and sometimes even Sundays, like, those
it's not
are,
greedy, it's
those
a matter of survival. I mean, you know, I mean, business comes before pleasure, you know what I mean? Hey, well, yeah, it's tough for me sometimes, like, I can't take these Friday bookings because I got to work Monday through Friday, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, right, yeah, I right. completely understand. It has to be, man. That has to come first, for sure. Like, that's why always, if it works out on your end, I got you. I'll take you there.
Yeah.
If I wasn't planning to go, I'll make plans to go if you're going. We'll go.
Good looking out, Greg. Like, that's what they call you, Greg the Mark, man. No, I'm just a mark for WWE, man, but you're a mark for all wrestling. So.
I am. I just love it. So my top five, again, are not in any necessarily particular order, but in-ring talent, top five, MM3, Alex Weir, Tommy Vendetta, Adam Wick.
Can you say that? Start off. Can you start with Bobby Greg? Because I missed it. I want to give you some background music. Hold on.
Right. MM3, The Process, Malcolm Monroe III, he would be number one. Number two, weaponized Alex Weir. Number three, Tommy Vendetta. Number four, Adam fucking Wick. And number five, that's always the hard one to put in the fifth place. I always had Dre Jacobs there. So I'm going to give it to Dre Jacobs. And I'm only leaving Jason Hotch out of this top five because he's an Ohio guy. In Michigan right now, for my money, those are the top five guys worth paying money. If you see their name, they're worth paying your hard-earned money to see.
Wow.
The top five worthy of your money.
Man. There you go, Greg. Hey. Y'all heard it, people. And guess who's calling
I believe you've seen every one of those guys that night. Mm-hmm. Except Dre Jacobs. Alex Weir teamed with MM3 against Nick Gage and Effie. Tommy Vendetta was in that wild match. But Tommy Vendetta was a top five guy to me before he was doing death matches. But it just shows the guy can and will do anything. He's the lovable psychopath. Yeah. The man is he's actually a veteran, a military veteran. I believe a Marine. But then right there on the edge, man, Aaron O'Ryan and Jack Price, the DTA, we've seen them lose the tag team titles. But those two guys, Aaron O'Ryan is currently the XICW Midwest Heavyweight Champion right now, and he deserves it. Yeah, fighting champion. I mean, tremendous talent. And actually, the main event in Standish was Aaron O'Ryan versus his tag team partner, his best friend, the Black Diamond, Jack Price. And what a banger. Aaron O'Ryan came out on top in the end, but man, what a match.
Ooh. Wow.
Man, it's so hard to pick five.
Yeah, you know what, and I think Bede has called in. I don't know if he wanted to say anything or he just wanted to listen, but that MM3 guy, he's a flat-out stud, you know. Being able to watch him in person, man.
I'm
going to
stop you right there, Martez. He ain't no stud. He ain't no stud.
Oh, man. Tell us why.
No, he's a complete fucking gem. He ain't no stud. He's a gem, that motherfucker. I love that dude.
The crown jewel of the Monroe family dynasty.
You know that.
Please
you know
don't
this.
Stab
that
me,
dude's
yeah.
a gem, the
Please
crown
don't.
Jewel.
Actually, you know what? I actually have three stab passes from DBA. I got one for my birthday. I got one for fixing his toilet. And I got another one because he didn't tell me that on my birthday I had to go meet J.D. Marshall and drop off the canvas and ring skirts for XICW's ring for Rhino's promotion here a couple of weeks ago. So I told him, you know, that he had to give me two stab passes. So
Greg,
I can go ahead and
Greg.
Take the stab and say he is without a doubt the crown jewel of the Monroe family dynasty.
You know, he will stab the shit out of you quicker than a hiccup.
I got three stab passes, Day-Day.
That don't matter anything.
Ask him. It does. Hey, his word's good. If he says I have a stab pass, I'm sure I do. I use it wisely, though. I'm not above hiding behind the process either.
Processes, man, though. And dude, I cannot wait to go to the next freaking GCW show on November 12th. I know I'm jumping the gun and going quick on this one, but it's going to be a hell of a night.
Dude, this next Horror Slam before that is fucking fire, bro.
Oh, I already
spilled the beans that... our guest tonight, Isaiah Moore, is probably going to have the best match of the night straight up. Well, nah, I don't know. Juntai and MM3 is going to be fucking phenomenal, but Tommy Vendetta is going to face Isaiah Moore at first time ever matchup. at Death Punch on September 24th.
No, for sure, dude. That's going to be a fire-ass show. Our guest is going to be going against, man, Tommy Vendetta. And dude, that's going to be a fire match. Because, I mean, I've seen our guest on AEW Dark, and he's doing his thing there. He's doing his thing. He's a young enough and coming talent, you know what I'm saying, that's going to be everywhere. And he, you know, for sure he's going to get signed by AEW. You know what I'm saying? Not a matter if, it's when. It's when he makes
it. I still believe that so many guys just need to be seen. Like, I see, and no offense, because he's an awesome character, but, like, Mysterious Movado, our own trainer from the House of Truth, the Mysterious Movado, was on AEW Dark against Cella Del Fuego.
Fuego del Sol, dude, that was a good match. I was excited to see him on AEW Dark, dude, because we've seen him, you know what I'm saying, at PWAS and everywhere we done been, you know what I'm saying, in the indie scene.
I have a Movado action figure, bro. I've never showed it to you. I have a Mysterious Movado action figure. First run, baby. I got a Movado mask. Movado mask I bought. I'm looking still for the right size teddy bear, and it will fit on it. It's like a keychain, but I thought, I was like, dude, that would be dope on a teddy bear. So, yeah, I got all kinds of Movado shit. But, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, somebody's seen him. Somebody just needs to see MM3, Alex Weir, Adam fucking Wick, Tommy Vendetta, Dre Jacobs.
Man, dude,
you know,
that's all it takes.
Aaron O'Ryan and Jack Price.
The best five in Michigan, dude. Death Threat Army. Fucking.
It is, and it's almost biased that, you know, I do believe that, you know, unfortunately, I mean, I can't say unfortunately, but, you know, O'Ryan, Price, Vendetta, Wick, and Weir are all Death Threat Army guys, and MM3 is real tight with all of them. I mean, they're right there.
They're,
I mean,
brothers.
Man, it's even hard to pick a top 10. I mean, you know, we have Logan. I mean, the franchise, Shane Douglas, started a new triple threat with him, you know?
Right, right.
That, I mean, he got his the stamp of approval from the franchise.
Yeah.
And he's in my top 10, but not in my top 5. And I'm only saying that to emphasize how strong the local talent is around here. And why, I mean, man, I don't know if you read
talent,
it, dude. Man. Your boy, Blue Collar Championship Wrestling, your trainer is coming back, dude.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, Black
They're
girl.
Returning, I believe it's October 16th.
I'm going to have to hit up that show. That's a for sure thing.
That's a good show, Martez. If you have time, it is absolutely PG. I mean, it is, and I in a positive way.
Yeah.
They don't turn out the whole way.
Hey, I hate to break it, but
so if you're going and you party a little bit,
Isaiah Moore has to reschedule. He just texted me just now, guys.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, no, we'll catch him. We'll catch him for sure, dude. He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
He really is. And, man, we're going to see him on September 24th. On I tell you, the wife's birthday,
man,
September 25th. I'm glad that date got changed. Originally, it was the RPW date. They're
yeah,
now doing
for sure.
October 2nd, but yeah, have to drag the wife out to Death Punch the night before her birthday.
Where is it going to be at? In Taylor, right?
I do believe it is the Taylor Gimmick. Michael Street, it's that American Legion building with the tall ceiling.
Yeah.
When the police, weren't there. Dude, the cops showed up. They walk in the fucking building, two cops, and just as they do,
Cartier comes off the canvas, face, crimson mask, dude, covered in blood. They're just looking like, what the fuck? And they watched for about 20 seconds, and they turned around and went outside. They didn't say nothing to the promoter or anybody, right? They went outside.
Nice.
And, dude, they sat out there forever. We came out, and more cops showed up. They didn't go in, though. They were all, like, powwowing. And then a sergeant showed up, and he talked to him for a minute, and then they all laughed. Like, when is that, like, yeah, I guess it was obvious what was going on, but you just see these guys don't know what they came and, you know, looking at. And how they ended up there, I have no idea, but, yeah, that was funny.
Right. Yeah.
Darius
yeah,
Hardy
sure,
was there
dude.
That night. Yes, sir. And what you,
yeah.
So, looks like Juntai is making a big return around here, man. And Metro Pro, he's fighting Alex Weir, which I don't really fuck with Metro Pro. You know why? I just don't go there. And, you know, my very good friend Matt Breeding works there, and I want to go there to see him and support him. And shout out to him, man. He's got some big opportunities coming in Florida with close to one of the, let's just say, one of the big two. Real close.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, going there for, but, dude, Alex Weir and Juntai for the Metropolitan Championship. Wow, dude. And, man, Jason Hotch has a big match on that card, too. Oh, my boy, Forever Young. What a title shot.
Oh, yeah.
The Dabski Invitational Champion. Shout out to Forever Young. Like, share, and subscribe his shit. And while we're talking about like, share, and subscribing some shit, check out the Rated R 313 Wrestling Podcast King Day-Day's channel, the Deathmatch 313 Wrestling Podcast on YouTube. Got a bunch of new shit coming real soon. Just me and Day-Day have not been able to be in the same place long enough to fucking get this footage transferred, but we got some gory-ass shit coming. Some shit Martez won't be interested in. A lot of it. It's different watching it than it is live. And Martez will tell you that. Like, watching it, I'm like, oh, wow, yeah. But dude, when you see the glass explode 8-10 feet from you, it's different. When you see the blood juicing out of my man's nugget and you're about 6-8 feet away, it's a little different, dude. Seeing it on a video.
I'm still trying to figure out, and this is why I have the utmost respect for these cats, because I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that, you know. And
me neither. All the dreams I had of wrestling, I've never done. I'd do some hardcore shit. I'll take some blood on the nugget piece, but I ain't fucking with no glass, dude. I don't. I've been told how it's done, and I mean, dude, it's real. Dropping the thumbtacks is real.
Yeah.
But a good friend of mine, kind of told me, you know. But still, even you do what you do to do it the way it's done, you have thumbtacks stuck in your fucking ass. For real.
Bro.
Straight up. I don't know about that, dude. I've been stuck with a thumbtack, and it ain't that nice. I can't see taking the bump into a fucking thousand of them.
That's, you know, and that's so cringeworthy for me, man. Like, thumbtacks, I never, like, I don't get excited about thumbtacks. Now somebody jumping off a ladder into a bunch of tables, that excites me. But the idea of somebody being slammed into thumbtacks, it almost feels like I'm being the one slammed. That's how painful it is watching it.
A lot of that
man.
Stuff. When you see a guy bring a guy to the ropes and cut into his skin with a sharp object, to your point, you feel that, man. And it's different live. It just hits different live, doesn't it?
Like your boy, Mr. Goldman, like, he got pummeled by, what's his name? The legend.
Nick fucking Gage.
Yeah, man, I felt bad for him, man. I know it was part of the show, but, like, he got destroyed, man. But,
man.
Like,
All my friends got destroyed in that match. That was no good.
Yeah, yeah. And
I thank the Lord for real that MM3 didn't break his neck.
I know. I got hurt. I'm like, I hope he's okay. Because that was a loud hit to the floor. And I'm like,
so
man.
I got a message the other day from Breyer. Mm. I called him on his birthday. And he's like, hey, have you seen that video, that Rocka Rocka's video? He's like, yeah, it has 140,000 views. He's like, Bradley's all over it. And Bradley is on the thumbnail, actually. And Logan Paul is in the video. So the guy's from Australia. I'll send you the video, dude. It's really cool. And Bradley's in it like three times. They film his reactions to some of them spots in that match with Jimmy Lloyd, which, dude,
wow.
That might have been the best death match of the night, dude.
Yeah.
Jimmy Lloyd and Rocka Ronald McDonald beat the fucking shit out of each other.
that turns into like an actual slugfest, man. That was in-your-face slugfest. It really was.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Yeah.
John Wayne Murdoch is going to defend his newly won deathmatch championship against former guest on the show, friend of the show, and absolute legend. If you remember, he was the second guy doing deathmatches in America. Madman Pondo is going to be the first challenger for John Wayne Murdoch's Horror Slam Deathmatch Championship. You get a opportunity to meet Pondo too, Martez, if you can make
man.
It on the 24th.
Oh, it's the 24th now, or the 29th?
The 24th is Horror Slam.
Okay.
The 29th is FU.
Okay, gotcha. I should really be able to make the 24th. Yep, I should really be able to make it. Like, even, I don't want to keep talking about work, even if I could slide off from work for a couple hours and go back, I should be able to make it. I can make it happen. You know,
actually,
happen.
The 29th is October, though. This is the 24th of September is the next Horror Slam show, and actually, FU is October 29th.
Okay. So, that show is next Friday, right? The Horror Slam.
I guess it is.
I believe
I
can make it.
Holy shit.
It's going to cut into my SmackDown time, but, hey, I can always rewatch SmackDown.
Now, I was with you when you were talking about money, but now you're just giving into your selfish gluttony that is your your unhealthy obsession with bad wrestling that you have.
Let's talk about that. Because I've been
so
like,
let's talk about that, dude. Actually,
okay.
I mean, dude, this is an all wrestling show. I just give you shit for it, but dude, there's nothing that in WWE that gives me goosebumps more than a fucking cash in moment, dude.
Yeah.
Goosebumps, man. My favorite WrestleMania moment is when Seth Rollins cashed in the Money in the Bank at WrestleMania during the main event. It was just the most beautiful thing that ever happened. I mean, oh my God, how perfect. But
because
Big E,
hands down. Yeah, go ahead.
Big E, man. Big E. How you feel about it?
I'm be real honest with you, and I said this Tuesday night on Russell Talking to B, not to plug that show, but I'm just saying.
Plug
I'm
that shit. Wrestle Talking to D. Don't miss it. Tuesdays on Open Talk Radio, 6 o'clock, boss?
Either 6 o'clock or 10 o'clock, depending on our time. Our,
6
or 10.
Stay tuned.
Yep.
Wrestle Talking to D. Fun show. Open Talk Radio, 313 The Flash.
Hey guys, it's not the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, 313, but it's a decent show. I'm
you can
to
listen
that.
To it with your kids and your mama. You can listen to Wrestle Talk in the D with your kids and your mama. They won't talk about booties. They won't motherfuck nobody. So check it out. Check it out with mama. Check it out with your kids. But we're rated R on this show, so fuck them kids.
No, y'all extra.
Them kids can listen to Wrestle Talk in the D.
We what WWE is PG, you know, that's but no, I didn't like, I felt like I should have been more excited about the cash in, but I wasn't, and here's why.
Really?
Because yes, I was not. I mean, I was happy for Biggie. Hey, he got the championship. We all knew it was going to happen, but I don't like, number one, I have an affection for Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley has had a strong title reign. Okay, so I didn't want to see him lose it. I knew Biggie was going to cash in at some point, okay, but having him cash in on Raw, I didn't like that, number one. Number two, I didn't like Go ahead, Greg, go ahead.
Go ahead, sorry. I didn't.
No. You
I didn't mean to do
go
that.
Ahead.
I think it was just a move to, it was a Hail Mary for them to try to get ratings and get ratings next week, because they are in panic mode. And we won't even talk about that because we're talking about WWE right now. But I feel like that's why it was done on Raw. I think he's a great champ. It would have been cool to me to see it as a surprise, like when Lashley dropped the belt to someone, then have him cash in. That would be great. You know what I mean? Something like that. A champion, let a champion not get to be champion. You know what I mean?
Right. I would have accepted that more, but I don't, you know, the Money in the Bank almost seems like a heel kind of I won't call it a championship, but it should be for a heel
it
to
is,
win. You know,
dude, it's a cowardly thing that you do with that. Really, it's some heel shit. And a guy is beat down, you come, you know, finish him up with the briefcase and take his shit. It really is. I completely agree. And I thought, I was like, you know, Big E's not even that guy. That's Big E. This wasn't some, you know, I mean, some way that a Daniel Bryan or a CM Punk needed to believably take out a guy four times his size, you know. And that's the way, you know, that it made. I see exactly what you're saying.
Because if they would have did,
so
hey, Big E,
where
like,
does
Big
it go
E,
from?
Okay, I think for Martez, I think Big E needs to redeem himself. Okay, he needs to challenge Bobby, or Bobby needs to challenge him. It needs to be a straight up match. He needs to be able to beat Bobby in a clean match, you know, one on one, you know, at Extreme Rules or wherever. I want to see those two fight in an actual contest.
Agree.
You know, because I think that's where they missed the mark. Big E could have kicked off the
show.
I
just hope they're not just taking the belt off Lashley, so it's not in the Goldberg Lashley story moving forward. I hope it's not that.
Okay.
Because we've seen that before. Remember that?
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed.
We've also seen them make bad title changes to put it in. Like, the Cena-Rock match didn't need that belt. CM Punk should have held that belt till WrestleMania. That was, you know.
They dropped the ball on him so
much. I hope
much,
it's
man.
Not that. I hope, I would like to see exactly what you're saying there. Bobby Lashley and Big E have a straight-up match, and, you know, Big E basically gets the torch passed to him, and then Big E moves on to the next feud. And what do you think maybe are the chances that next feud could be like Xavier Woods?
Against Big E?
I hope not.
It's possible that, but you brought up an interesting point about Xavier Woods, and I'm going to say this. I think Xavier Woods, and this might be a hot take, and this might sound crazy, but I think Xavier Woods, at this point in their career with that trio, I think Xavier Woods has the most potential, but I think Xavier Woods is the best out of the three right now. I wouldn't have said that a couple years ago, but I think Xavier Woods has grown in the ring. You know, he's great on the mic.
Xavier Woods, he can go. You know, I haven't seen a bad match with Xavier Woods. So I think Xavier Woods is the best out of the three. Will he get that championship at some point? I don't know. You know, he just has that mid-card vibe to him, you know, but I don't know if Vince or whoever will actually put him in a matchup, let alone against his quote-unquote brother, Big E. I could see Kofi.
He's a big-ass dude, actually. If you look at him, my man's thick as fuck. And
he is,
you know,
bro.
He has the size to be a believable champion. And I always have liked his in-ring stuff, right, from the very beginning. But when he got with the New Day and started getting on the mic and got to show that charisma and that personality that he has, I think he could absolutely be a big star, and I think he could be a good heel. But I just never want the New Day to ever be split up again. There's, like, the perfect trio. The way I really felt like they were going to do something like that with Big E, with Kofi, and now that, you know, Kofi's been champion and Big E's been champion, and I see where that story could go.
Who
would you like to see? Let's say it goes down the way that we're booking it right now. He goes over Lashley at Extreme Rules clean. He, you know, New Day helps him overcome the outside interference from, you know, and, you know, he's the champion. Where would you like to see the next? Who would you like to see be the next contender?
It's good question, Greg. We get through Lashley. I think, and I'm also bittersweet about this, but I think we immediately go into the SARP Survivor Series program, you know, champion versus champion, him and Roman. So we know for at least the month of November, Survivor Series month, if he's going to be in a program with Roman Reigns. So now we shift to December.
So
okay?
October is our only pay-per-view before Survivor Series? We've already done September?
Crown Jewel, the thing they do in Saudi Arabia, that's going down. So, I don't know. I can see
the Blood Money show.
Yes. It's something about that I just don't like, man. And I guess
fuck
I know
Saudi
why.
Saudi Arabia.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, Greg.
You're
watch out,
dude.
I feel
the Saudi family and your kids. Fuck them kids.
Oh, man.
You're a king and queen of Saudi Arabia. Fuck your kids, okay? I've never meant that more in my life. I have never meant that more strongly in my life than fuck them kids.
Hey, I'll approve that message, man. I'll approve that message 100%. Because I really want to say the F word so bad, but I haven't said the F word in...
You don't have to. I say it for you.
11 years.
I cuss right. enough for us both.
Okay, so if Big E defends the championship at Crown Jewel, it has to be against somebody that they don't plan on expanding the feud with. So I'm going to think about maybe somebody.
So isn't
like,
Goldberg and Lashley at Crown Jewel?
Yeah. Well, that's a rumor. I mean, obviously that's going to happen because Goldberg got to get some retribution on what he did to his child.
Yeah, and that's what they – yeah, the fuck them kids pay big money to bring in, like, Undertakers and Goldbergs and shit. So they probably do want that match. So – Biggie could maybe have his next program sooner.
But you know what? They should make that a triple threat match. You know, it's a non-important pay-per-view anyway. You know, so make it a Goldberg, Biggie versus Lashley for the WWE champ. I know you say no, but who does Biggie take on? It can't be McIntyre.
There's not time to put. I mean, you could have the scramble match, or you know what I mean, or the beat the clock challenge or something, and you know, have a contender that would match up well. I mean, I'm always gonna say like AJ Styles, but you know what I mean, he's doing something different right now. I don't know a whole lot of what's going on in WWE. I keep up just enough.
you sure do, man. Like your investment is WWE is like at a 1%, you know, if that.
And it was a lot higher 2 years ago. I cared a lot more, and really, like, when we got into indie wrestling, I liked WWE a little less, and then it came to a point like I didn't have time to even watch it, and I just watched the pay-per-views. And now, like, if I have the choice to go to a pay-per-view or go out to XICW, I'm going to XICW. And if I catch WWE later, I do. If I don't, I don't. You know.
And that's sad to hear you say that from my vantage point. But let me ask you this question, because and friends or no friends, just keep it real with me.
I'll always follow what's going on.
Okay. But do you think people like me and other people, are we in denial about WWE? Are we conditioned to just accept what they give us? Because
well, here's how I feel about that. If you enjoy what you're watching, what does it matter? You probably know it could be better. You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean you don't enjoy it. If you enjoy it enough to invest your time in it, if you're not sorry you sat through watching it, then you should absolutely enjoy it. You know, and AEW, to me, wrestling needs a lot of things. I like to see good wrestling, good matches, and I like to be surprised and to be entertained. I like a good story. I like, you know, a good reason. The guys that aren't fighting for championships, I like, you know, a reason they're fighting or whatever. Whether
in AEW, you know, Yeah, I agree. And AEW they annoy me. The whole AEW fan base annoys me. And I'm 100%, that's the how.
Oh, wrestling fans are just complete douchebags. That's all there is to it. They're a bunch of fucking assholes. They are. AEW, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, fuck your mom. Like, what are you talking about, bro? We're talking about wrestling. You're talking about who I voted for. You're talking about my mom. You know what I mean? You're calling me fat. Like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
Wrestling
and we are
the worst.
They are, and I believe we are in a terrible time for wrestling fans. We are in a terrible time because they, like you said, they are the worst.
It's a wonderful time for wrestling fans. Because here's the thing. I thought about this a lot since we talked about it. You're right.
Okay.
WWE's not going nowhere. And if anything happens, they're going to get sold. And Tony Khan's not going to buy them. A conglomerate is going to buy them for billions of fucking dollars. It's going to be record-breaking how much this company sells for when it sells. They'll bring people in, they'll listen to the people, and they'll improve the product. You know why they'll improve the product? Because there's another product out there that's starting to kick their ass. Competition is good for everyone. It was when Hogan came out with TNA, WWE got scared and they got a little better. You know what I mean?
Yep. Tell that truth, because people don't want to talk about that.
I was doing other things in life and fell out of wrestling a little, but I kind of paid attention to what was going on. And, you know, there was a 3-year period where from like WrestleMania 8-ish till near 10-ish, after 9 for sure, that I was so into baseball I didn't really pay attention to wrestling at all. But besides that, I've been a huge fan my whole life. And if AEW keeps getting bigger, and even if like New Japan and their type of stuff got shown to a larger audience, I think more of that's going to happen too. And I think that buzz was out there big, and that's how AEW got so big so quick. Not so much right now, it's going to be with the man, Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, because people, WWE fans, and probably Bray Wyatt coming, you know what I mean? They're WWE fans are going to check it out and be like, wow, this is good stuff. Because I was in the Attitude Era. WWE's getting their ass beat. I'm calling ML Curley's fucking phone line every day, listening to the news and everything. But, dude, I was a Raw guy. My brother-in-law was a Nitro guy. So there came a point where, you know, when I was flipping back and forth, I was watching a lot more of what Nitro was doing there for a while, you know, when the NWO first started and stuff. It was better, but, you know, I'll always be a wrestling fan. I was, at that point, that guy that I refused to admit
to anybody that knows, dude, WWF is the best.
But
the good news is wrestling's going nowhere.
Nowhere. It's big business now. It's big business. Like, it's so popular right now that it's not even funny. So popular right now.
I really believe it is. I think I don't know. It's definitely a different time. They're going by, you know, how many millions of people are watching these shows, and they're looking at things different because, like, WWE is watching, like, how many hits their YouTube videos are getting, dude. That's a major source of revenue. Yeah, like a billion subscribers or some shit throughout all their different social media bullshit. I just do Facebook, you know. I go on a couple of the other ones just to follow people to give them a follow. They're like, oh, give me a follow. Oh, look at that shit.
I'm like that too.
I go on Facebook.
It's funny you say that because Facebook, that's all I really care. I got an Instagram, but I don't have the energy to
Me
use
too.
That. I mean,
but I don't think I've ever posted on it. I've liked people's shit. I've never sent anybody a message or received one if I've ever gotten one.
Wow. What about Twitter?
Twitter I used. I tweeted Chris Johnson when I first made it in like 2010 or some shit.
Okay.
And send him a message. I like send him a tweet or tweeted his shit, but yeah, that quickly got boring.
That's funny. Yeah, man. This was a nice discussion, man. Nice discussion on a Thursday night.
It is. So, have you heard anything about AEW last night?
Yes, well, I'm going to say.
So Daniel Bryan is going to fight Kenny Omega. Or, I'm sorry, Bryan Danielson. Same guy. Different. Back to his original. But, man, what a card. And this is going to be it's gonna be on TV, man. It's gonna, Wednesday, Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson. Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho, former Ruby Riot. Malakai Black, you know, Aleister Black versus Cody Rhodes. Sting and Darby Allin versus The Revival, FTR. CM Punk against that Black Hotchman dude, forget his name. MJF and Brian Pillman Jr. And then Adam Cole and the Young Bucks against Christian Cage and the Jurassic Express. Powerhouse Hobbs, that's his name. And Jericho and Jake Hager against the Men of the Year. That's next Wednesday on Dynamite, bro.
That's not AEW's
next pay-per-view.
And what day is that? That need to be a watch party, man.
Dude, I don't even have cable. That's why I don't catch it. I catch the results usually the next day.
Okay.
And you know, I want to watch for the most part. I can watch that. Like, I actually have the Hulu gimmick because my wife watches stuff all the time. And Raw's actually on there the next day. I think I've watched it once in the 2 years we've had it.
Hey, Greg, I got to step off for like 1 minute. 1 minute. I have to step off for like 1 minute and 30 seconds.
So I'm going to do right now.
Put you on the spot.
I'm going to put over all my friends right quick. No, I love it. It's good. We're spontaneous. That's what we do. We wing it. I started the show. Martez took over. Thank God. The quality of the show is 1,000 times higher. Now, quality, we got quality independent wrestling around here. Check out Michigan Independent Weekly on Wrestling Rage. YouTube channel is r2youtube.com, the Wrestling Rage channel. Check them out. They'll let you know what events are going on, when and where, and how much, and, you know, what to expect. And then, man, my good brothers, the Pro Wrestling Edge, Check them out. They're on, like, all audio platforms. They just had an awesome interview with Darren McCarty. Shout out to Darren McCarty and the Darren McCarty Cannabis Company. My man has, like, 6 or 8 of his own strains. The Super Glue 25 is fire. The Black Eye is absolute fire. So check that shit out at a local dispensary near you. And enjoy responsibly, of course. 21 and over, of course. Fuck them kids. No weed for them. And, man, I want to give another shout-out to Pro Wrestling Edge because those guys are so awesome. They're quite a team, dude. And, man, these guys love wrestling. They, you ever catch them at a show, man, go introduce yourself. They're the nicest guys you'll ever meet. And, our Michigan Independent Weekly team, and give a shout-out to my good friend, Danny Beal, the real heel, the real deal heel, Danny Beal, my brother, I love you, and Happy Harper. If you catch these guys out at a wrestling show, Happy Harper always has with him ice cream. I don't know how many flavors now. It's crazy. It's like 60 flavors. A lot of them are inspired by local wrestlers, but, dude, the flavors are absolutely phenomenal, and everything he does in ice cream, he does big. So I just want to give a shout-out to all my friends, and of course, our local wrestling promotions. And, dude, I'm going to start with the ones that pay me because, hey, XICW, Standish Show, absolutely awesome. The next Standish Show is going to be October 23rd. It's a Saturday. It's worth the drive. So much fun. Be out there setting up the ring, my ring. And obviously, FU, the 24-karat Lion Jeremiah Goldmane's promotion, man. Absolute funnest show I've ever had. Brian Shotwell at MPWA, the Midwest Pro Wrestling Alliance, where I do commentary. And we, man, a lot of fun at that show. Always a quality show. They crowned the Superman lover, Chuck Cold, the new champion. He defeated LJ Lawrence in the main event. It was a really good show there a couple weeks ago. But, you know, shout out to that promotion. You can catch them and their events on YouTube as well. And New Edge Wrestling, who's making their big premiere slash return. They are the former promoter of TKW. This is not TKW. This is something completely fresh and new. It's New Edge Pro Wrestling on October the 30th. It's going to be a hell of a show. So, yeah. And our good friends at Horror Slam, Brian and Rachel, they definitely check them out. The best deathmatch wrestling that Michigan has to offer. And another new deathmatch wrestling promotion, F5. Hit up Stitches McVee on Facebook and check out F5 Wrestling. They are working with ICW and RPW here to do a two-night show on October 1st and 2nd. And that's going to be absolutely phenomenal. Then, you know, check that out, RPW. Shout out to them. And they're, you know, they're based out of Toledo. They run here on the south end of Michigan in Temperance and Erie. Check them out. Crazy high quality deathmatch wrestling, but much like you know, would expect from a quality deathmatch show. And of course, we talked about it earlier, the return of Mike Blackwell's BCWA, the Blue Collar Wrestling Association. They run out of the Copeland Center, I believe, in Wyandotte, and Bubba's Metro Pro Wrestling running downriver. And of course, our friend Steven Rivera and the Pro Wrestling All-Stars, you can catch them almost every Friday. They have 3 different locations. They're at Play Atlantis in Melvindale. They are at the Victory Gym in Brownstown and in Southwest Detroit at the Knights of Columbus, which those shows a lot of times are only $5 for general admission all ages. That's a, you know, pretty PG/PG-13 show. I mean, you'll hear some foul language every now and again, but storylines and all pretty much keep it PG. a really good show. And like I say, you catch it almost every Friday. They're busy promotions, man, and they believe they're going to be crowning some new champions here very soon. So opportunities pretty much every weekend to catch some good wrestling. Because those are all, it's, by the way, I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. That doesn't mean you're not a quality wrestling promotion. It's just I didn't think of you off the top of my head. But actually, we got Clash, too. Plus, it's hard for me to remember, man. Clash just returning. BCWA returning after a long absence due to the pandemic. Clash also due to the pandemic. There's, you know, and then there's ones further out that I don't necessarily attend. Lance, if I were to drive and everybody I know that loves wrestling says it's worth the drive, it's about 4 hours to Kalkaska to Mr. Chainsaw Pro Wrestling. I've been following them for years now, and that they're like right there with XICW, in my opinion, is like the top wrestling shows out there. I mean, Horror Slam's right there too. XICW is my favorite, and not even for any bias reason. They were the first place we found independent wrestling, and I mean, they've been going over 20 years. They're still putting on, you know, the highest quality stuff. All the wrestlers will tell you. It's a shout out to our brother, Coco T. Ware. I love you, brother. Which reminds me, Alex Van Zandt, he hates you, Coco, but shout out to him. We love you, AVZ. A lot of friends of the show. Got a lot of friends around here. Made a lot of good friends in the wrestling business. I met a lot of people that were just my friends on Facebook, you know, at wrestling shows. It's a cool community. I say it all the time that wrestling fans are a different people. It's not like it was in the Attitude Era. You go in from high school and everybody watches wrestling. No, wrestling fans are a rare breed of people, and they're hard to come by. And you can find them at independent wrestling shows. And here's the thing. It seems to me most wrestling fans that, you know, like this weird thing that we like, there's other weird things that, like Pokemon and, you know, the Marvel and superhero stuff. Like, most of those weird things, Star Wars, you're going to meet a lot of wrestling fans that like that same cool shit you do. So, you know, reach out to a stranger wrestling fan on Facebook. Make friends. Comment on each other's posts. It's fun. You don't see as much, I would say, of it. I mean, you see some of it, obviously, in all circles. But, you know, you don't see so much political stuff, you know. You'll see a lot of people being assholes to each other. I mean, I just choose not to participate in that because I'm old and it just seems redundant and stupid.
Yeah, Greg, and I'm gonna piggyback on what you were saying because I always said this, and I remember this was I want to say this was 2000 and you know, I'm just guessing here. I think this was 2014. I think this was when Brock Lesnar came back to WWE. His second show was at Joe Louis Arena, and he confronted John Cena. But I was, I was younger at the time. I was still an adult, but I remember sitting in the stands, and it hit me. I said, wrestling is a safe house. It's an escape from everything that's going on in the world. It's such a safe place for me that I try to protect it at all costs, you know, and that's why I don't like when people try to crap on it and things of that nature, because you don't know, because a lot of people out here, this is all they got, is wrestling, is being a wrestling fan, whatever they are, whatever their ties are to wrestling, this is really, as with some people, it's all they got. And I always say this, wrestling is my safe place, you know. It's obviously the Lord is my ultimate safe place, but wrestling holds a special. Yep. Wrestling, and I always feel like God is moving even with wrestling. God, you know, God can be in the midst of wrestling. You just got to be able to have that spiritual eye and see this. You know, so like sometimes God will allow wrestling to give you a will give you a feel of comfort, you know, if you're going through something. So there's a lot of reasons why I'm thankful for wrestling, man. And yeah.
So to your point, you know, people say wrestling is fake, and okay, I guess you can look at it that way, but like I always say, so what do you watch? I mean, movies? It's fucking fake. You know what I mean? Whatever show you watch is fucking fake. You know what I mean?
Hello.
Your reality show is fake, you know? But here's the thing, like you said, especially if you're going through some shit, wrestling, you can get lost in that reality and just feel it and immerse yourself. If you're a fan, you know what I mean, in what's going on and that reality and escape, whatever it is you're going through, mentally, physically, it can be your escape. And I mean, might be wrestling, dude. It could be cartoons for you, but for a lot of us, it's wrestling, and it's that, and you hear a lot of people say, you know, wrestling saved my life. You know, they just love wrestling so much that they didn't get involved in this or that because of wrestling, or but yeah, we've seen a lot of, I mean, great friendships and relationships, you know, through wrestling.
Yep. And sometimes it's bigger than what it is, and it's bigger than what you see, people. And that's just that, man. Yep, that's just that.
Yeah.
And what I like about you, you're a progressive thinker, and I don't want to get too deep tonight. I know we all on a short leash as well. I don't know what time you're ending, but you're a progressive thinking. I think progressive, and I like what you said.
I set the gimmick for 8 o'clock.
Oh, okay. But you can end it at any time.
I set the gimmick
time,
for 90 minutes.
90 minutes? Okay. So, cool. So, so let's just
I didn't
say
have you
everything.
There to do that for me.
Hey, Greg, you in charge today, man. But
no way. I went on it, you know, the time I call, and it was like nothing scheduled. I'm like, uh-oh, Martez is working.
And you know what's funny? I was in Novi, man. I had to do a job in Novi, and I had to hurry up and get it. Had to ask him, can I get up early? Because I'm like, I never told the guys this morning that I can't be a part of the show because I was getting ready. I should have told you guys I couldn't do it today, you know. But
me and Bradley were driving around catching Pokemon. And I was like, all right, we, you know, start heading towards the house. And I called, and I was like, uh-oh. So I set up the show as I was driving back to my house. I got it set up with 5 minutes to spare.
Oh, clutch, man.
That's how I missed all your messages when I said ding, I seen the notifications popping up, but I was setting up the show. I was scheduling the thing.
I've been there before. When I'm in that crunch time, I only got a few minutes to set up for the show. I don't have time to answer any messages. So I definitely been there.
It was at 9 minutes till that you said, I've been away from my phone. I'm just seeing these messages. That was at 6:21. because it was 6:20 when I called in to the note, and I was like, uh-oh.
Well, I'm glad you got the same access I got, and you was proactive, and you were gonna end up doing this show alone, man. Kudos to you, man, because.
No,
that's a hard thing to,
I can't do it without you.
Hey, if I wasn't going to try, if I didn't get home, you probably would have, even if it was a half hour.
It goes bad when I do it.
Nah.
It goes bad when I do it.
I disagree, Greg. I disagree, man. Nah.
So you were talking about being a progressive thinker.
Yeah, you're a progressive thinker, and I'm at the point in my life where I got to be honest about everything, even if it's against me, you know. But I'm just saying everything is out.
Me too. I'm too old.
Thank you. You got to be real about everything. You got to be real about yourself. But this, because you talked about people watch movies, people watch this and that, and that's fake. I think people, they use the wrong word when they talk about wrestling. Like, I'll be okay if you said wrestling was choreographed or if it was staged, but being a fake is calling it fake is being lazy. There's nothing fake
about
it.
Yeah, I don't
like
the fake.
It's just, and you know what you're doing. Like, you're just being lazy by calling it fake. But
my uncle said something about wrestling being fake, and I went outside and I took a picture of what's on my trailer, and I sent it to him. I said, bro, this is a wrestling ring. That steel and wood, that's the wrestling ring. Okay?
It is. It's a good. All right, Greg, talk for like 30 seconds. I have take a quick call real quick.
Martez, one of these days he's gonna make an in-ring debut. We were talking about that. The Shy Martez, one day he will make an in-ring debut. That is going to happen in some capacity. He will have a wrestling match. I don't know how many people in front of, but Martez one day will have a wrestling match. I do believe that. We'll see. We'll definitely see. Man, wrestling has blessed me with some of the best friends and opportunities I could have ever hoped for in my life. And one of those things, I actually got a message the other day asking, hey, I'm going to now throw you under the bus. Got a message from you the other day saying a friend had messaged you reaching out about getting trained to wrestle. And I think this is a great topic. And a great conversation that we can have that, you know, there is absolutely somewhere to properly get trained and to give you a little, I mean, we have shoot interviews on here and whatever. I mean, you know, yeah, you got to get trained. And here's how the business works in a nutshell. You get trained by a reputable trainer and someone puts their name on you. They clear you and they say, yes, I trained you. And you know, I just go say that, like, Martez saying, yeah, Greg the Mark trained me. Well, who the fuck trained him? You know? Who the fuck am I? I'm nobody, right? But you say, I got trained at the House of Truth. That means something. And I'll come out and say it. It is, I looked it up for your buddy. I believe it's $1,000 down and $130 a week. And it comes out to like $2,434 or something like that, or $30, I don't know. But if you pay it all at once, it's $2,000. That's Truth Martini. That is probably one of the, if you're in the greater Detroit area. And then we got Shotwell in Monroe. That trains people, Brian Shotwell. Reach out, I'll message him for you and get you the information on how to get there if that's where you want to go. Trey Miguel, the great Trey Miguel, has a wrestling school called Skull and Bones. It's, I believe, somewhere near Toledo, but it's in Ohio. If you're in Ohio, place to get trained, man. If you're in Canada, Can-Am, I believe it's very expensive, but, dude, that's the place to go, man. The people that own Impact own that school, okay? So they're direct line to the wrestling business. You know, that's just a if you're further north in Saginaw, Pure Pro Wrestling has, they even have, I was going to buy it for Bradley first, but it's just too far to drive him to, like, Flint. They have a junior grapplers program. They'll train kids not, obviously, to do anything dangerous, and they actually let the kids wrestle. At the end of it, they have matches, like, on the pre-show before a PPW event at the Flint Iceland Arena or whatever I think it's called. But in Saginaw, Pure Pro, Saginaw, Flint, they're putting really high-quality wrestlers out there too. And these are reputable places that once you're cleared, you go to any of these promotions I'm speaking of if you're in the greater Detroit area, you know, and work on getting booked. Work on your shit. I mean, chase your dream. It's out there. I wish I knew the people I know now 20-some years ago.
Wow. So you had every aspiration in the world to wrestle, huh, Greg?
Oh, yeah. I did some yarding, which I used to somewhat be proud of. I'd show people a video, and now knowing the people, I don't really make a big deal of that because that's very much frowned upon in our circle, the whole yarding thing.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah, man, from the time, as long as I can remember, I wanted to be a wrestler. And I knew, even though Hulk Hogan was my first favorite wrestler was Tommy Rich, you know, and then Hulk Hogan, man, fell in love with him, Hulkamaniac, until I fell in love with the Ultimate Warrior. But I always knew that I was more like I'd never be Hulk Hogan big. I'm a littler dude. I could be more of a Ricky the Dragon Steel. So I literally, my aspiration, my dream was to become the Intercontinental Champion. They say, oh, you're not trying to be the world champion. Dude, and I think of that like, dude, all I ever wanted, like, to me, I wanted to be the Intercontinental Champion. I always loved that belt. I believe, you know, seeing what I seen growing up, watching the belt go from, you know, even the Macho Man, who, I mean, obviously is a big dude, but wrestled that smaller guy style. And then, man, when I seen the cruiserweight, when I was a teenager, I mean, if right around that time I knew the people I knew now, I'd probably be one of these guys that have been around for 20 years in wrestling.
Wow. Wow. Well, Greg, I'm going to lay out a challenge tonight. And we joked about it on Messenger today. And I kid you not, I was having this conversation in Novi with this the coworker I was working with today. And I said, I want to wrestle just one match. Just give me one match. I want to learn how to do it. I want to learn the business of being a professional wrestler. I'm not trying to be a wrestler. I just want to have one match, or maybe two. You know, and I'm saying all that to say, man, we should definitely get a match between each other. We should definitely
absolutely. I was saying, you will one day wrestle a match, because I know it's a dream of yours. I don't know how many people it'll be, but you will one day. Not in the too awful far future either. Wrestle a match.
That's beautiful.
It's great, man.
That's beautiful.
We are. Last winter, I considered actually doing the House of Truth when I got laid off for the winter. Is that, you know, it's every evening. You know, and that's like the perfect time because they have a class that goes like, it's like January through March.
Yeah.
It's like
perfect.
And they have one, you know, and the next one's like March through whatever. It's a 12-week course. I mean, and then you can come back every single class for the rest of your life if you want, you know.
Really?
Which guys go there, guys are encouraged by other workers to go there to get ring time in, working with the trainees and stuff. But, yeah, there's good places to get trained around here. And we know some good people. And we, man, a lot of wrestlers have been very generous. It showed. My son's been shown so much stuff. So he showed me the one day he, you know, the Tilt-A-Whirl head scissors takeover. He can do that perfectly. A wrestler taught him that. And same guy taught him a Hurricanrana too. I'm like, yeah, I ain't taking that. I'll take the head scissor takeover. I can do it with him. Yeah. You know, I can take that little rolling bump. But yeah, I ain't taking that. Yeah. That Hurricanrana bomb is, yeah, he takes that leap. But, man, he can do it. It's so cool to see.
Well, I've only experienced your son a few times, man, but in a few times of experiencing him and being around him, he embodies the business. You know, I wish I had the fandom that he has, man. Like, what you have instilled in him is amazing.
He's actually a shitty fan now. You should have seen him four years ago. He never missed a show. Dude, wrestlers come to me every fucking show. Anytime I go anywhere, multiple wrestlers. Where's Bradley? I'm like, dude, he wanted to play a fucking video game. He, what? Like, I wish my dad took me to shows like that. And, dude, can you imagine, like, if your dad had a wrestling ring when you were 11 or 12?
Yep. Man, that'd be huge, man. That's like,
My 18-year-old like said, well, I mean, there's a lot of marijuana goes down in independent professional wrestling. And, yeah, my older son is he's a big fan of that aspect of wrestling. And the first time he went, it was a horror slam show. And you see how those go. And it's outside the doors, you know? And he's like, I love wrestling. Yeah, and then the next show he went to was in Southwest Detroit. And he's like, outside show.
Wow.
He's like, actually, it was the same venue. It was where Horror Slam was.
Really?
But out there in
that
lot right there.
Look. Yeah, and see, it's like every time we talk about something, like there's like a question from the conversation that I want to ask. So what, and this can definitely expand over a few shows, you know, but I'm gonna just shoot it right now. Like what is it? Is it a different experience with it being outside versus inside? Is it better? Is it not better? Is it just the same? Because like
it
I was
is
watching,
different.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestlers hate to work outside, first of all. They hate it.
Okay.
They're more comfortable inside. But I like outside, actually, because I smoke a lot. And I can sit there and smoke, and I can smoke weed. And that's what's cool about outside, mainly to me.
Yeah.
But then again, dude, like this one outside show, I remember specifically several of them, actually, now thinking about it. Like, it's in the evening, right? When the fucking sun is dead in the west, you can't see shit. You're just blinded.
Wow.
It's like, you know what I mean? There's no visor covering it. You know what I mean? When the sun gets to that point, it sucks for like an hour and a half. So that's another drawback of the outside show. And then there's the heat.
Man.
And then there's the threat of rain and shit. You know what I mean? Especially like owning a ring and doing a booking. I fucking hate outside shows, man. My canvas gets all fucked up and dirty and everything, you know, that aspect. I hate the outside shows. But as a heavy smoker and a weed smoker, I love the outside shows. And I take well to the heat, too.
Okay.
Which guys clown me because I wear a sweater outside every day. You know, we're at wrestling show. How the fuck are you wearing a hoodie, bro? I had wrestlers, but man, take that fucking hoodie off. All right, dude, I'll take it off.
you like me? I don't wear no hats in the winter. Like I'm not. I don't get really that cold in the winter. So it's just, you know, that's funny. Our bodies are just are different that way.
Exactly opposite, man. Dude, just wait, man. Like, I'm going to stop shaving my face in probably about 2 weeks. We already got some cool mornings. And you will recognize me in 6-8 weeks. Like, my no-shave November starts in, like, October and ends in, like, April.
Really?
It's my fur that God gave me. That wind that cuts behind your ears and down your back, I don't get that, dude. I have a great big mange. A great big mane. Around my face. Keeps me nice and warm. The neck hairs and everything. Let them all go wild. I just keep the mustache trimmed so it stays out of my cheeseburger.
That's something you got to make sure it's in good standing is that mustache. Right now, my beard right now, because I'm going to the barbershop tomorrow, but I'm really trying to get a thicker beard myself. But like my mustache is like, there's too much hair in my mustache, and it's bothering me right now because, you know, so I need to cut some of these.
That just reminded me, first of all, give a shout out to your barber.
Okay.
Put him over.
Okay. Oh, man. Yeah, I have a barber. His name is Alex. I forgot the name of the rest of the barbershop. My bad, Alex, I don't know if you're even listening, but, yeah, it's a barbershop in Ferndale, downtown Ferndale. Next week I'll have his card and I'll be able to read the name of the barbershop. But, yeah, his name is Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
listen,
he's the man.
Good shit needs to be promoted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, Supercuts,
at Masada and Gratiot, fuck you and your kids. They gave me the worst fucking hat job haircut I've ever fucking had. They hat job my son. We should have cut each other's fucking hair and saved 50 bucks. Actually, it was 50 bucks, and I tipped each lady $5. You know what I mean? So $60 we spent on fucking hat jobs. My friends are laughing at me at work. I took my out. He's like, damn, you're out. I was like, look at this. And dude, all three of them are laughing. I'm like, yeah, dude, this is fucked. What the fuck? And the lady's like, well, I don't know what you want me to do because I had long hair and I'm going to short hair. And I'm like, well, that's why I came to a fucking professional instead of cutting it myself. But, you know, I thought maybe you would FIO. I doubt I'm the first fucking guy that ever went from having long hair shaved around the sides to, all right, I'm done having long hair. You know what I mean? You know? Like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Right? So he's like, dude, his hair won't do shit. Lady talks us into buying this glue gimmick shit that was like 20 bucks, and it's literally like fucking glue. It's like, it's not the wax shit, and it certainly ain't gel. It's called glue, and it's like glue. And, yeah, fuck you, Supercuts, Emma Sonic and Gratiot. I'll never get my hair cut there again. I'm going to Alex the Barber in Ferndale. More information here next week. And maybe he can fix this fucking hack job that I got. Duh. Maybe he can fix the hack job they put on my kid, too. They said, fuck my kids.
You are shooting on Supercuts.
Trying to get my kid beat up. He's going to middle school with a hack job.
Listen, and you know this firsthand. School in general is the hardest thing ever because kids are not nice. I want to cancel that idea that school is a safe haven for kids. It's not for me because some kids are mean and Supercuts, they send you.
Well, Brad
school, Gray, like
he definitely figured out, you know, a way to get it to do something. Took him some doing too, and he was frustrated. He's mad.
Okay.
Man. Dude, the hack job they put on me, coupled with my receding hairline and this fucking really, really, really light bare fucking spot in the top back. Like, you ain't doing shit with this. Throw a hat on that motherfucker. That's all you can do. Greg can at least get some gel and spend 10 minutes in front of the mirror with the gel and the comb and get his shit to do something. I mean, you know, the kids are about that spiky way anyway. My shit won't do nothing but stand right the fuck up. And it's about 48 different lengths. And the longest part is in the front. Like, yeah. Dude, it's wild.
Well, Greg, hold on to what you got as long as you can, because you know what? I'm trying to grow my hair back now, and it's like, it's only growing in one spot, you know. I've been bald for a while now, but, you know, and it's, that's why I like to wear hats a lot, because I continue to put this wild grow on my head, hoping that this certain part of my head that don't grow, that it grow, but it's not working. So I might just have to forget that idea that this wild grow is going to help me grow my hair back.
My hair
right.
started telling me to fuck off about 6 years ago.
Okay. Man.
Yep.
6 years ago, wow.
Well, brother, this has been a fun night conversating with you. Everybody was graced with the presence of the great Marquez Ale, the host of Open Talk in the D. You can catch that on Tuesdays at 6 or 10 right here on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash, the PG show. Thanks. You won't get all that delightful language, but... Man, check it out this Tuesday. Check us out next Thursday at 6:30. And as always, God bless you in the name of Jesus. Marquez?
Amen.
Anything to add, brother?
Oh, I love you, man. This was a fun time. I'm glad we was able to kick the ticket tonight. It was a good show.
Awesome. I love you, brother. We'll see you next week. We'll catch you Tuesday. Peace.
Yep.
to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interested, we got that. The Southwest Texan, they cruise. Greg, the Mark, and Martez, they them dudes. Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. Non-stop action, interested, we got that. The Southwest Texan, they cruise.
Okay.
Greg, the Mark, and Martez, they them dudes.
Yo, it's your boy, they cruise. I'm out here making moves. See, how the hell can I lose when I'm the one that made the rules? All I see is the money, you can call this pay-per-view. The Rated R Wrestling Podcast, that's what we do. Let me introduce Greg, the Mark, and Martezell. I run with winners, homie, I can't fail. You say you undefeated.